Welcome to another episode of the Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Fowler, and today is Monday, October 11th. This week, we examine an article from the September issue of the journal Oncology. It's titled Plasma Glutamine as a Prognostic Biomarker in Localized Prostate Cancer, Comparison of Conventional Variables and Risk Stratification. I spoke with one of the authors of this research, June Gong, a practicing medical oncologist with an emphasis in GU cancers at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. Gong went into detail about PSA's role in prostate cancer and really other potential complementary biomarkers. He also discussed some of the significant findings from his research on plasma glutamine, featuring a cohort of over 100 patients with localized prostate cancer. Well, Dr. Gong, thank you so much for returning to the Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast. It's really great to have you again. I just kind of want to start with really the motivation you and your colleagues had to pursue the research in plasma glutamine in prostate cancer. Really, what was the goal of this study before you started?
So we know that PSA, or prostate-specific antigen, is probably the best and the prototypical biomarker in prostate cancer right now. It's very, very accurate and a very powerful tool that guides aspects of management through localized to even advanced prostate cancer. But we recognize that even with that regard, there's still some biology of some prostate cancers, particularly in the localized space, where PSA still isn't as predictive of risk and recurrence to local therapies. And so we also decided to look into an investigation to identify other biomarkers that could be complementary or even, you know, eventually with further development, try to supplant the role of PSA. And then in the advanced space, we recognize that some patients, a clinically meaningful percentage of patients, don't have PSA production, especially those who become castrate resistant and then start to evolve into more aggressive variants of prostate cancer. So we were trying to look for another marker that could be reliable even as prostate cancer evolves to more aggressive forms in the advanced stages.
Right, and so let's just start with the methods a little bit, a couple questions for this study. Let's start with plasma glutamine itself. How was that measured and really what were you looking for with that as a prognostic biomarker?
Yeah, so prostate, in our localized prostate cancer patients for this study, we obtain specimens from the PCBN, which is a national repository of biospecimens. We especially obtained a cohort of over 100 patients who obtained a blood draw right at the time of radical prostatectomy. So these were localized prostate cancer patients. And what we have done in the laboratory and work based on our group, Dr. Neil Bomek's group earlier, was that prostate cancer loves to feed on an amino acid called glutamine. This is part of the normal foods that we eat every day, but for some reason, prostate cancer uses it and relies on it to grow as a food source more so than many other nutrients in the body. And so what we found out in the lab is that if you gave more glutamine to these prostate cancer cells in animal models, they tended to grow, the tumors tended to grow. And if you actually starve them of glutamine, you may have a therapeutic strategy to treat prostate cancer as well. So our hypothesis was that in people, and now in this study, it was localized prostate cancer patients, if we measured their glutamine levels, we predicted or we hypothesized that those with more aggressive forms of localized prostate cancer would have higher levels of plasma glutamine, which we can measure in the blood, in plasma. And we use an industrial assay to measure it. It's commercially available. Very, very, very straightforward kind of assay. It's a bioluminescence assay. And with that regard, we wanted to correlate levels of glutamine with various endpoints that we chose, one of them being biochemical recurrence-free survival, because we have known that those with more aggressive forms of localized prostate cancer even after a curative intent surgery, such as a radical prostatectomy, may recur faster. And so we wanted to correlate that as one of our main endpoints.
Right. And so let's stay on the patient population real quick, just for another question. You kind of mentioned a little bit about eligibility and focusing on localized prostate cancer, but could you expand on that a bit? You know, what were some of the key eligibility criteria for patients, and what were some of the key characteristics of this population that you saw?
So the key eligibility for our study were that patients had to have had a blood draw at the time of or before surgery. These are patients that had localized prostate cancer, meaning patients with early stage disease that were planned for a curative intent surgery, radical prostatectomy. Outside of that, we didn't have any other strict criteria. Patients could have any Gleason score, which is a histologic grading system of how aggressive they are. They could have been treated with hormone therapy or not prior to the radical prostatectomy. Most patients, the majority of patients, over 98%, were not treated with hormone therapy. Obviously, they could not have had metastatic disease, because that would not have been eligibility for a radical prostatectomy in the first place. So all of these patients did not have any bone metastases or distant metastases as well.
Right. And so just very briefly, could you just kind of talk about what the primary and key secondary objectives were for this research?
Sure. So the primary endpoint of this study was to correlate plasma glutamine levels with biochemical recurrence-free survival. We wanted to see if there was a predictive relationship between the two. Secondary endpoints we included were to compare if plasma glutamine levels had any correlation with other classical pathologic and clinical risk factors for aggressive disease. This could be Gleason score, T stage, N stage, for example. PSA level was another one. We wanted to correlate if glutamine could correlate with PSA level. And then another endpoint beyond these two is we also wanted to find out which risk stratification system of all of these variables were then the most predictive of biochemical recurrence-free survival in the entire cohort. And it may not include plasma glutamine in one of these risk stratification systems.
Right. And so let's just get right into the findings now. What exactly did you find with this research? And you mentioned your hypothesis, and how did the results that you eventually saw compare with the hypothesis that you had going into it?
So most people would say, unfortunately, the study was negative because plasma glutamine was not predictive of biochemical recurrence-free survival or any of the clinical pathologic features that we classically associate with risk in localized prostate cancer. However, we recognize that a negative study is also just as informative because it provides information to future researchers that, hey, you know, we've looked into this in the localized prostate cancer, and plasma glutamine didn't work out as the biomarker we had hoped for. And we have a couple of thoughts as to why that didn't work out. But, you know, overall, we felt that this was a negative study, but it was informative that maybe in the localized prostate cancer space, plasma glutamine is not the best biomarker of risk.
Right. And would you mind expanding on exactly why you think it didn't work out in the end, those ideas that you and your colleagues came up with?
So that's a great question. So our team, Dr. Bomek's team, has realized that plasma glutamine or glutamine secretion in general is very dependent on treatment with hormone therapy and is very dependent on a complex relationship with the tumor microenvironment, specifically the fibroblasts. These are adjacent cells to the prostate cancer cells. And what we've realized is that it's the fibroblasts that are making the glutamine that then gets taken up by the prostate cancer epithelial cells as their food source. Now, what we've done in our research in the past is shown that with treatment with hormonal therapy, now this is standard therapy that patients in right now in the real world get, including androgen deprivation therapy and next generation anti-androgens. What we realize is that you need some treatment with those first, and then that triggers the less to make more glutamine. In the absence of that, you may not have glutamine produced at the levels that are expected to support the prostate cancer epithelial cells. And that is a point of relevance, because if you remember in the methods section, I spoke that almost 98% of these patients were never treated with hormone therapy. These were patients that were just treated upfront with radical prostatectomy. So based on our laboratory, our preclinical findings, these patients actually wouldn't be the type that would be conducive of glutamine production and dependence, because they haven't developed that exposure to hormonal therapy.
Right. And so from what it sounds like, even though it's a quote unquote negative study, there's still just a ton of information to be learned from this kind of research. And you kind of mentioned this a little bit in your prior response. And I kind of wanted to follow up with it, because I think it's really significant on what you would recommend researchers kind of focus on. And especially now that you've mentioned it's the results were ultimately negative, what you would hope future researchers would really hone in on to kind of build off of what you found.
So I think the most important takeaway point from our study is that in localized prostate cancer, in the absence of exposure to androgen deprivation therapy or anti-androgen blockade, plasma glutamine probably isn't the best biomarker. However, if you now look at patients who are treated with hormone therapy, particularly in the more advanced stages, I think glutamine becomes a very attractive biomarker to further investigate, because now you have more exposure to hormone therapy. And with the development of resistance to these therapies, as you go through the lifespan of the treatment of these hormone therapies, glutamine would be a key essential marker to track along this as well, to detect mechanisms of resistance, to detect aggressive transformations and progression of disease, because we know that glutamine has such an intricate relationship with the exposure to hormonal therapy in prostate cancer. So I think the next step that our group and potentially future avenues with other groups should do is look at the biomarker potential of plasma glutamine in those who are treated with hormone therapy, especially as they evolve from castrate-sensitive prostate cancer to castrate-resistant prostate cancer, and even to evolution to neuroendocrine prostate cancer as well.
Perfect. And just to sum things up, is there anything that I haven't asked about that you think is important to share here about this research?
Well, in the absence of plasma glutamine becoming the biomarker that we had envisioned in the localized prostate cancer, we still did, you know, a model by model comparison as an endpoint in our study. And we found out that in our cohort, at least of 120 or so patients, we found out that a risk stratification system that incorporates Gleason score, T-stage, and PSA still comprises the best model to predict for risk in prostate cancer patients in the localized setting. And this is resemblant of risk stratification systems that are used in national guidelines, the NCCN, for example. And these are variations of the D'Amico risk stratification that we use these days. So they still remain the best right now in our current real world setting, but we also end the study in the discussion by saying that there are now genomic classifiers that use a series of genomic markers, alterations in the tumor. And this includes Decipher, for example. And these are using a more complex genomic score to predict for risk in localized prostate cancer. So these might actually be the next future of supplanting the classical risk stratification systems we have right now.
Right. And so again, just to emphasize this point, there's still just a ton of information to take from this article in the journal Oncology. Well, Dr. Gong, thank you so much for taking some time, returning to the podcast and speaking with me about this research. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Matt. And thank you for having me as usual.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available. Or you can listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast is the official podcast of Cancer Network, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information and to stay up to date with the latest news and notes in the world of oncology, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at Cancer Network without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at Cancer Network. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you again next time.